Hey, good evening.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Variety Perspective Podcast. I don't know. Is everybody here? Is Brandon Cole here as well?
I am also here, yes.
Oh, awesome. Yes, we are here recording an episode of the Variety Perspective in regard to Madden and the awesome accessibility changes that are now in this game. It should really be noted that Brandon Cole has won his first football game with no such assistance due to these changes. So
of literally all time, let's make that clear, of all time ever.
Awesome.
Yeah. The announcers, you know, made it a point to say that it's an actual video game. It's a video game, not real. So,
you stop downplaying my win. Okay. I will not accept this. I will not accept it.
Oh man, but you know, it's interesting, Brandon. Tell your story about your, how you got into video games and that whole kind of prank that led you into, you know, ultimately becoming the best accessibility advocate for gaming.
Well, it is an interesting story, and it gets the crowd every time. So my video gaming life started with a prank played on me by my brother when I was a young child. Back in the days when we had a Super Nintendo, regular Nintendo, not Super Nintendo, it was even before that. And he asked me one day if I wanted to play Mario Brothers with him. And I had basically dismissed the idea because it was a video game. And video games were things that we couldn't do because they had the word video in them. So obviously that means, you know, blind people can't play them. Video means seeing things and shit. It was a pretty, you know, basic logic that I had back then. So, reluctantly, for some reason, I agreed. And so he hands me the controller and says, okay, go ahead and play the game. Press start. Show me which one start was, you know, like I was. And then there I go. Start playing the game. Before I know it, I'm jumping over pits, killing bad guys, rescuing princesses, getting a whole bunch of coins, extra lives, all that fun stuff. Amazing. I was awed. I was shocked. I was amazed. And in fact, we even beat the game. And then I get the punchline, which was that I was handed the unplugged second player controller the whole time. While my brother played the entire game and told me that I was doing everything. And being a kid and not knowing anything about video games back then, I accepted it. I thought that my pressing of the buttons was working. So, at the time, I was crushed. I remember being, like, so sad that, I really thought I had accomplished these cool things, and I hadn't. But I really think that that was the spark, because going forward from then on, I basically said, okay, one day I'm going to play a video game and win it without his help, without anyone's help. And I've been a gamer ever since then. I just started messing with games, figuring out what worked, learning things about video games and how mechanics work and all that. And I've been a gamer since, and now I'm more than just a gamer. I'm an accessibility advocate for the blind for video games. And it's working, by the way.
It's working.
I am so glad that it is working.
And now, I'm just curious, because I don't know if anybody's really asked you this question, and maybe you never probably thought about it, but like, when your brother played that game, did he speed run through it, or was it, did you know how long that that game actually lasted?
I feel like we were doing that for a few hours. I don't feel like it was a speed run, per se. We were doing it for a long time because I was totally into it, and I think he was totally into the build up.
he would just love the suspense, and you would
it's like the more excited that I got, the better it was for him, because you know, he got to hit me with the punchline at the end there. So
that would make me feel horrible at the end after all that and getting built up to make me believe that I was actually doing it and then get let down like that.
Yeah, but you know what? Ultimately, I got to say, thanks, bro. Thanks, bro. Yeah. Good job, bro. You built an accessibility advocate out of me. Thanks, bro.
You know, I'm just curious, what does he think nowadays, you know, like...
I don't think that he follows what I do nowadays. He has actually changed a great deal. And believe it or not, does not play video games anymore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I don't think he follows my work, but I told him once that I use his story, his prank that he played on me. His story is basically the beginning of every single one of the talks that I do. And yeah. I was like, well, that's cool. He appreciates the nod there, the acknowledgement of what he did.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. I mean, at least, you know, it's turning heads in the industry, so.
Yeah.
Yep. And, of course, you know, we have a host here, Brendan Armstrong, who's, you know, kind of just sitting in a corner, just waiting to get his talk. But, so, Brendan, how have you been? What's been going on with you lately, Armstrong?
Not much. Just, like I said, paying attention to the accessibility of Madden and loving the fact that the industry is finally reaching out to us and working and making some huge progress, I might add.
Oh yeah, I mean, this time last year I don't know if Xbox was accessible at this point last year or 2 years ago.
No, it wasn't.
So, I mean, fast forward to August of 2017, where Karen Stevens, you know, shout out to Karen Stevens, the former side job as an accessibility consultant, or, you know, just basically she sent feedback, or we sent feedback to her, and she just sent it to various teams and things like that, and pretty much was able to convince, based on overwhelming feedback, to add accessibility to Madden at first, because she was working on Madden, and then ultimately got a lead accessibility job for EA Sports. So now we can look forward to hopefully more EA Sports becoming accessible. And I think...
I don't even think it's a question of hopefully at this point. I think it's
going to be a question of yes, it will be.
It's going to be when. Like,
Yeah. So when, well, I know that right now the next one to get it is FIFA, because I know she's...
Now she's that I'm really looking forward to.
I mean, well, the downside to FIFA is that there's not enough commentary, really. I mean, for Rumbles...
Yeah.
I mean, there's not enough commentary to...
I think, and we'll probably get to this a little bit more when we're talking about Madden specifically, but I think ultimately we're going to have to try to get more added than just Rumbles. Rumbles are not the end-all, be-all solution to everything.
No, in my opinion.
And like I said, we'll get to that later, but I think FIFA might need more than that. But then again, what do I know? I'm generally not actually a sports guy, hence the fact that I hadn't played Madden ever before this. So FIFA, if FIFA becomes accessible, then, well, I guess I'll be playing my first ever FIFA game, too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know that, well, I think she's diving into two games. She's diving into UFC, and she's diving into FIFA. I mean, I don't know what she's doing, because, like, she's, oh, yeah, we're diving into UFC, but, like, last time she said she's diving into NHL, so it's...
Let's just go with everything and hope for the best.
Yeah, really.
I mean, I really hope that we get I'm looking forward to NBA. I also gave her suggestions for the PGA Tour game, so there's definitely improvements to be had there. I really hope we get, especially golf, man, because that's probably a game that, like, nobody thinks could be made accessible. But I think that there's possibilities there.
There's always possibilities. Yeah. I've concluded that with enough work and enough thought put into it, there's possibility for basically every game.
Yeah, where there's a will, there's a way. I don't see why any game could be accessible.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's definitely some some challenges, but I mean, I just love the fact that I can go into Madden and I could play, you know, my weekly, like Giants, my Giants franchise, or playing out a live game, and it's just so relaxing, and I don't have to worry about.
Pretty close win in that last franchise game, I must say. That was a very, very close game.
Yeah, that was like a 3-point win. That was incredibly close. Which, by the way, speaking of anybody interested can get my Madden stuff on my YouTube channel at youtube.com/orinks O-R-I-N-K-S if anybody's interested in that kind of stuff. I may add, because we on Anchor you can add audio to this, I may add the audio of that last game to this particular episode. But Brandon, what's been your experience with Brandon Cole? What's been your experience with Madden thus far? Because I know you actually done more than me. You completed story mode, which, I mean, tell us the challenges presented there, because yeah, that's something I've been.
So right out the gate, let me just say story mode is great. I really, really enjoyed it. Despite the challenges, I really, really enjoyed it. The story is well written. The voice acting is incredibly well done. The whole thing was motion captured, and you can kind of tell because the individual cutscenes sound like feature film. Like, they sound like the actors are mic'd, and, you know, you can tell. You can tell. Oh. but the challenges that were presented, there were a few, and they will be something that I'll be talking about too in an article that I'll be writing for my website probably soonish. But I'll talk about them here too, because they're important to this discussion. So one thing to keep in mind in the story mode is your one specific player, just one. Whereas in a full game, you take control of whichever player is, you know, the ball carrier, or if you're on defense, you can switch control of, you know, three different players on defense, so on and so forth. In the story mode, you're just one guy. So there are things you do have to keep in mind, and things you don't have to keep in mind. For instance, in a regular game, if you are throwing the ball, you then have to also try to catch it as the player who the ball is being thrown to. In the story mode, you don't have to do that. You're not responsible for trying to catch it. You just have to throw it. The problem here, though, and one of the challenges that story mode has, is that in story mode, throwing doesn't work the same way as it does in a regular game, at least in terms of the accessibility portion. Because the way we do it in regular game is we tap the face buttons in sequence until we get a vibration, which tells us we're going to throw to the open receiver that we've just located. Unfortunately, in story mode, tapping any one of the buttons will throw to that associated receiver.
Oh, whether it's open
or whether they are open.
Oh boy.
This leads to a lot of missed passes. A lot of incomplete passes. A lot of them. So currently that's just something you kind of struggle through, and, you know, maybe you'll get lucky and, you know, pass the games that you have to pass. But that is also feedback I've submitted on the forum. As well.
No, I am kind of curious, given that you say that that's how it works in story, because I know that in franchise mode, you can actually take Devin into a franchise. You can. There's options for in franchise. You could either be the coach, which is what most people choose. You could be the player. You could be a player, or you could be like the owner or whatever. Apparently in franchise mode, when you take control of a player, the first option that you are given is Devin Wade.
That's cool.
So I'm curious, if you take control of Devin Wade in franchise mode, if that throwing
would that still happen that way.
Still actually happen that way, because you're not actually controlling the ball. Like the it's not the when you're coaching, the control switches between where the ball is,
right?
So I'm just curious. I'd be kind of curious if when you take control of Devin Wade, if that actually still applies, because
it's tough to say, because story mode games run so much differently than regular games do. Like, a story mode game has to be able to immediately cut to a story mode cutscene when certain moments happen. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
The, like, when even from the moment they load, the way a story mode game loads in may not be the same way an actual regular game would load in. You know, does that make sense?
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I haven't, I'm definitely going to, I mean, I just like, you know, playing the game, but I'll definitely get, because, I mean, I like story modes usually, but it's just, I guess I have to just follow along with the guide and like, keep.
Yeah. So the guide is really good. And I hate that I messed it up myself. Like, so there's a moment in the story mode. If you watch the YouTube videos of me playing story mode, I get stuck on this one moment for like 20 minutes. Because it was a pass into the end zone, and I get clarification from my fiance what I'm supposed to do, and my reaction is like, what? The guide is wrong here. Oh my god, I can't believe it. It's wrong. I have to go correct it. Well, guess what? It's not wrong. I was like two lines above where I was supposed to be.
Damn.
Not wrong. I went back later when I was actually going to correct it. I was in the post. I was ready to write the correction. And I go back and look through the QuickTime events and mentally associate which one is which. And I'm like, wait, it does say that. Oh, well, oops.
Yeah, I was actually watching that too. I'm like, oh man, god, I'm gonna pass this.
Yeah, it wasn't wrong. But yeah, the guide is great for the QuickTime events. I also, and this is, I think, where we could expand on the whole idea of audio being used instead of just rumbles as well.
Yes.
Is the ball steering moments in the story mode.
Yeah.
Audio would be good for that.
Yeah.
There are ways that could be done. And also, along with that, since we're talking about it now, I'll throw it in here. One other thing that I think, and I actually haven't submitted this yet, I just recently thought of this. One thing that I think would be very useful is audio of some kind when the ball is in the air. Because right now, we know whether we're doing a running or a passing play. What we don't know is how long the pass is going to be.
Yeah, and you like don't if a pass is blocked, you know, all the announcers are just going to say it's incomplete. So,
well, I'm talking about the actual throw. Like,
oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You throw to a guy that's really far away, so you don't want to press the button to try to catch it right away. But you don't know, you know, right now you don't know how far away you're going to be throwing it. Are you throwing it to someone that's really close to you, or are you throwing it far away to try to get some extra yards? You know, Hail Mary style. You know, how do you know? Right now you don't.
So. Yeah, that might be why I'm getting a lot of incompletes, because I'm hitting square too quickly.
Right. It could be that you're hitting at the wrong time. And sometimes, like, one thing I have learned is there's kind of a general rule of thumb. Like, if it's an average pass, there's kind of a general, okay, wait about this long between the throw and when you actually press square to try to catch it. And that works. Like, I don't get incompletes like crazy anymore, but I still get a lot, because, you know, sometimes I think I'm going for the long pass and I'm just not catching it because I'm not hitting the button at the right time.
Yeah, like sometimes you're throwing it like downfield and then.
Right, and sometimes you find out after the fact. Like the announcer will say, oh, a long throw downfield and it's still incomplete. You know.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, for what it is, I mean, you know, I'm more confident about my gameplay in this versus, you know, Madden 07. So it's ultimately I feel all of these changes are, you know, really.
Oh, don't get me wrong here. Like, this isn't even close to like a complaint. Like, it's just feedback. That's all.
Yeah,
it is.
It's feedback. Yeah.
I mean, I love what I've done. Like, and again, not a sports guy, but I find myself having fun with this.
No, I saw you killing it the other day. I don't know if you were, because again, PS4 online thing says franchise.
I haven't actually started a franchise at all. I'm always doing live games because I don't know how to set up a franchise right now. I would like to. It's something I want to look into.
Yeah, I mean, I can. Basically, I did it with OCR. I set it up, and I went into league options, turned on simple season so I don't have to manage it, because OCR, that's a pain. And then
yeah, I would honestly, I don't think I would want to manage it. Like, the management is not what I'm playing for. Like, I want to play through the season and enjoy the that's
yeah, what I want yeah. to do. And yeah, so the computer will do all the training and all that stuff. And,
oh, that's good. That's real.
That's
good.
Awesome.
Yeah,
that's real good, man. That's real good.
And yeah, well, the problem is they don't really make it easy to actually, because by default it's set up to management, I guess, because that's what people like doing. But
I know I understand there's a whole sect of people that, I mean, Football Manager was a real thing. Like it's a game. Like that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
So people do love to manage. I'm glad to hear that you have the option of disabling that aspect of it.
Yeah, and you can, you know, and it's interesting because, I haven't had any like player trades or anything. My computer hasn't done anything drastic like that, but I'll be interested to see when it actually does happen, because it'll probably change up the story a bit of the league, which could be interesting. But yeah, I mean, this, any other things about men? Oh yeah.
I think there's still a lot to say.
I was actually going to ask a question, since you guys were talking about audio and related to story mode. Do you guys think it would help to have maybe where those dialogues come up where you have to choose what you have to say? Do you think maybe it might help if there was a way to maybe preview the different choices before you made them?
I would be willing to accept, given the fact that we already have a guide for the quick time events.
Yeah,
I would be willing to accept the dialogue choices being in something that's written out, because then we could just combine them together.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
A massive guide, so it doesn't have to be a feature that's added to the game. I would accept, if you choose left in this at this point, you'll choose this option. If you choose right, you choose this option.
I mean, I would accept that. I mean, in an ideal world, I mean, I'd love, you know,
I would love it if it was
have a guide, you know, like, so I can just open a game and I don't have to have two, you know, a guide open. And then,
I agree with you. I just think that I've learned very quickly that one of the best things you can do when you're advocating for accessibility is consider all possibilities, from the thing that you really want, the best possible scenario, which would be great, and definitely mention the best possible scenario you want, but also don't be afraid to mention the things that you'll accept if you can't get the best possible one that you really want.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
if you do both, if you give as many possibilities as you possibly can, then you have more of a chance of getting something out of it.
Yeah, that's because I forgot to mention it. Karen Stevens did write an incredibly detailed guide on Madden 18.
The menus, the
origin account system, which I'd use OCR for to log in. It's not that, I mean, I thought it was going to be harder than it was. This guide, it's an invaluable resource. Menus, story options, the order of the teams. It's specific, and it's you know, coming from EA. It's like blind specific, and it's coming from EA. So when it goes on the EA site, it's probably going to really turn heads in the industry when people look at it.
Yeah, I think it will. I think you'll see articles about it, like in gaming media.
Yeah, because I only
nothing saw... like it's ever been written on a professional level.
I know. Oh. I've only seen one PS4 lifestyle editor article on Madden. There was accessibility changes, but other than that, I mean, nobody else is really taking much interest. Which I hope that'll hopefully.
The thing is, it's going to come down to EA. They need to be the ones that let everyone know that this is a real thing, and they need to be the ones that advertise it and push it forward.
Yeah, and I've said that too. You know, if the key is, if EA pushes it really aggressively, then I think you'll change that mindset of, oh, it can't be done.
Right. Everyone else in the industry needs to know, and they'll find out from EA or from gaming media if it's pushed, you know, if it's pushed hard enough, they'll realize, oh wow, this real-time football game, this simulation of football, can be made totally accessible to blind people. That's mm-hmm. pretty awesome. So what could we do, you know?
Yeah, I mean, because, well, I don't know, apparently, I don't know if any of you guys have heard Lee Mervin's Gamer Grace panel, where apparently they were discussing Grand Theft Auto 5, and apparently that there's some...
Oh, don't get me started on that.
I'm so mad about that.
Yeah. So I'm not mad at Liam. Don't get me wrong. I liked his panel. I liked his panel. I really did. It was good. It was everything. Every panel like that is always a good thing. It's always a step forward to even have a panel like that and get people listening and get the message out there. So that's great. However, I like Mark probably did. Mark from Able Gamers. I read the article on Rockstar and their idea for accessibility for Grand Theft Auto back when it came out as well. And I didn't speak to them directly like Mark did, but I had a violent reaction to that article. Like, I was like, hold up, guys, hold up. And I know I'm getting off topic here, but real quick, hold up, guys. So you're saying Grand Theft Auto, with its $250 million budget, you're saying to make that game completely accessible to the blind, it would take another $128 million? Okay.
Yeah, I was actually surprised about that.
Okay, so my reaction is, would it cost money? Yes, of course it would cost money. Would it cost $128 million? No. I refuse to believe that it would cost $128 million. I really truly believe this is a case of, and this happens a lot in where we are right now with accessibility, but we're getting past it. I'm saying it happens a lot, where developers don't know what we actually need to get by. So they assume that we need so much more than we actually do.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Mark was saying that it was going to cost them $12.5 million. I don't know if the cost would even be in the millions.
Well, it was outrageously high, and I don't.
It's ridiculous.
Cost that much.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I don't even think it'd cost $1 million, or
no,
even, you know.
It would. I mean, yes, it would cost some money because it's a big game. They would have to bring coders back in. Maybe a voice actor or two, depending on what they decided, you know, how they decided to approach certain aspects of it. But I could envision a Grand Theft Auto game made accessible. I could see how it would work. And I can't see it costing that much.
No.
But yeah, anyway, back to Madden. Sorry about that. There's a couple things you can get me started on a rant with, and that was one of them. So
yeah. Good job. anything you want to rant about Madden on? Because
it's hard to rant about Madden. In the way that you define a rant, it's hard to rant about it like that because there's so many positives. There's so much good.
You know, I got to say, another thing that I absolutely love, the fact is that over the past 2 years, they have got great commentators over years past. And I'm just like, that right there in itself makes a world of difference.
Oh, yeah. Commentary is great.
Yeah, especially the live commentary.
I was just going to say, the live commentary is a brilliant touch. It's a brilliant touch.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, well... I don't know, I kind of wish one negative I have with it is the color commentary. I love the color commentary, but at the same time, when you just made a play and the color commentary completely just bypasses the play because, like, there's the dialogue.
They're having a long conversation.
yeah, they have a long conversation when, like, you just had a play and you have no idea what happened in that play because of
that really cool guy that gave money to the three Texas workers from Hurricane Harvey and that long conversation that played over and over again. But so I kind of get it though. Like I love it, but I see where you're coming. Like I see both sides here because I love the fact that it's there because it's really cool. It makes it feel more real. It feels like more of a simulation. The fact that they're talking about stuff that actually happened and recently. And so that I love that about it. And I also understand that those conversations do happen in actual games.
They do, yeah.
So for that reason, I can respect it as another component of the simulation. But I also see where you're coming from, too. It'd be nice to keep the commentary about the play that you're doing so you know what's going on.
Yeah, I love the fact that it's actually interrupted for big moments, like when you get...
Yeah, like interceptions. Yeah. Yeah, that happened to me. I believe one time, it was actually the Hurricane Harvey thing, and I heard Hurricane... He got it! You know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's... You can't really rant about Madden because there's so many good things to say about it. I mean,
yeah.
The guide that was written for us is tremendous. And by the way, she's not done. Like,
she's not done. Said,
she's not done. She's going to write more for us. It's
well,
so
I know one particular challenge for her with this guide is the quote unquote game setup section. That's like for a franchise and stuff like that. I think she's trying to work out how to do cloud franchise for us. Now that would be epic because essentially, you know, me, we can get Brandon together. I can get, well, I mean, I don't know anybody else on PS4 who would be interested, but essentially, the cloud franchise is where you can essentially get online teams, you know, controlled by humans.
Right, so it's essentially like an online NFL. It's like the whole league is online. Everyone's running their franchise, but they're actually
Running their franchise, and it's like your team is looking to be number one in the league, basically.
Oh man, that would be epic.
Yeah. But I mean,
believe it or not, of all things, WWE 2K18 is doing something like that this year too.
Yeah, they got that Road to Glory.
Yeah, it's a cool idea.
Yeah, I have a few gripes about that game.
It's no. Okay. It's, I was going to say, I have some videos that I'll be posting about that game, and I'm sure everyone will love them.
I have some gripes about the PS4 broadcasting game volume too, because I noticed that like when you were playing story a lot, especially when like they were talking in hushed tones, it's like or like when you know, music. I mean, even like the music sometimes was just pretty low, and it's. I mean, even it's with my game. And it's just, you know, I kind of wish I had a capture card because you know, Liam with his broadcast doesn't have these problems because he's, you know, broadcasting directly.
Understood, but I also wonder too if maybe there's a way to change the balance and we don't know that there is.
I know that there is a way to change the balance, at least for a PS4. But then when you do that, then the game is too loud; nobody can hear you.
Well, you have to find that happy medium, and you have to understand that some games are louder than others, and maybe adjust accordingly.
Yeah, I wonder if you have to adjust game volumes, the crowd and the commentary stuff like that. Maybe that might help. But...
That might help some. But yeah, I do hear you coming from there. The game volume of Madden when broadcast is fairly low. I noticed that when I was watching my own videos. Even out of story mode, even when playing actual games, it's sometimes hard to hear the commentary.
Well, I mean, I don't know, I think it's pretty much all. I mean, like MK is pretty low, and Justice is not as loud as it probably could be.
That is actually too why sometimes in story mode, you notice I mute my own mic.
Yeah.
Because I understand the game volume is going to be low, and I want to make it so the only audio you're getting is you know the scene that's playing out. But then I'll unmute for a second to make a joke or a comment because I joke a lot during that playthrough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm probably gonna end up starting my playthrough of it possibly tomorrow because well, maybe I might be able to finish it. I don't know. I mean, you finished it in one day, so.
I did. I did a whole stream. Everything was live. Live stream, play through the entire story mode. It's great. Great.
I really wish that there was a way to. I wish Twitch would broadcast your when you're live on Twitter because really nobody watches my stuff because I fail to update the Twitch feed you know when I go live but also is there a way to invite because I know people have sent me invites to broadcast but is that accessible on PS4 to send invites to broadcasts
to your broadcast I don't know because I haven't really tried. I know it's a thing that you can do, but I never think about it.
Because
the only thing that I do is when I start broadcasting, I will post a tweet myself that says I'm live because my Twitch does not broadcast my Twitter. I'd do that myself.
Well, yeah, it won't broadcast your Twitter anymore. They have that new social feed that they, you know, it'll broadcast. It'll make a tweet when you post to that. But
oh well, that's dumb. All right. Yeah. So.
But yeah, I mean, Madden. Yeah, there's just so much good. Not very many negative things to say about it, honestly.
No, and the feedback that I think most people are providing is constructive. Like, you know, all we're trying to do is say, hey, you know, maybe try this, maybe work this into the next patch if you can. You know, that'd be great. Accessibility update part 2. All right.
Yeah, I really hope that we get, like I said, I told Karen. For open receivers, you could have audio beeps like playing like in the stereo field, and then for buttons that correspond to, you know, like X and like triangle, you could have beeps that are higher and lower pitched respectively, or something like that.
Or it could be where the position of the beep in the stereo field indicates which button you should be pressing to throw to that person.
Yeah.
But the button you should be pressing is indicated by either the position or the pitch of the audio.
And then maybe volume of the beep should indicate how far they are. Maybe that's how we can...
That would be good.
Anything else to say?
Honestly, I can't think of anything else. I like those ideas, and I'm just glad to see that this is a work in progress, and it's not like, oh, it's just one bit and then we're done.
Yeah, well, I know the guide is in progress. Like, you know, Karen always says, no guarantee on whether there's going to be a new patch. Although, honestly, I mean, with all the feedback that you know is coming in, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there is another patch.
Yeah,
so. So Karen likes that no guarantee qualifier, and that's fine because it's safe.
Yeah.
That way she's covered if it can happen. But she seems very good at what she does, and I think she can pull the appropriate strings.
I think she can too, and I think she'll get more accessibility patches out as the year goes on.
Maybe not a whole bunch, but
no.
I would think at least one more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, hopefully, when 19 comes out, 19 may introduce some accessibility stuff at launch.
Right, because theoretically, I would hope that in 19 the accessibility stuff is now built into their engine.
So yeah,
it's just a passive consideration now. Like, hey, you have this. It's a thing.
And Karen said that hopefully by the time 19 rolls around, they can implement TTS for consoles that support it at least. Hopefully the Xbox One will get, you know, menus and all that.
I think the major point of this whole thing, this whole podcast right now, is Madden is something that should be recognized as a huge step forward in blind accessibility. It is easy.
Absolutely.
It is easy for a lot of people to brush this off and say that, okay, well, it's an accessibility patch, got some accessibility features, yay. But it is the most that a AAA developer has done for the blind community in a video game ever.
Yeah,
MKX Injustice, yes, they did one thing. These guys change the game for us.
And I gotta say, this is not a blind game company that makes weird, stupid, simplistic games. This is a mainstream company, and that's what I'm saying.
AAA developer.
Yeah.
$1 million company right here. And, you know, they're not indie developers. You know, a lot of people are saying, you know, a lot of people come out with the idea that we should only approach indies about accessibility because they're the ones that would be more willing to do it. Well, guess what?
That would just prove them wrong.
EA just did it. it's a huge deal, and I hope that people who listen to this show that maybe didn't realize that before, I hope that hits them in the head and they go, holy crap.
Yeah, I mean, because yeah, like I know Ian Hamilton, like when you know he when it first came out, he was just floored, as were, you know, all of us when it finally did come out. And then I actually bought the game before it came out, and
because you're a Madden dude.
Because I, you know, actually was surprised at how playable it was without the patch. Just, you know, based on, you know, I didn't realize that, you know, players were running automatically. I'm like, oh wow, I'm actually defending and stuff. It's cool. But it, I mean, my kicking was just horrible.
No, you know? It was. There was nothing that told you where the meter was.
Yeah. Well, back in 07 when I did that recording for your site. The meter actually worked differently, where you didn't have to it used the stick, so it would have been a lot harder if the meter was actually like that, even with the accessibility.
Wow.
Use the stick.
Oh man, I didn't even know.
Although I mean, I don't know. I mean, you win some, you lose some. The soundtrack in 07 was a lot better. It had rock and not all just rap and stuff. Although, did you, Brandon, were you, yeah, were you able to change the music to the night?
So I saw the whole thing in the guide about how to do that, and I swear to you, either I'm reading something wrong, or I don't know, because I tried it and it did not work. Like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
You may want to. Daryl Bowles did an awesome video on exactly how to do it, and I pretty much just followed his video. And
I need to follow him. Period. Like, I haven't watched any of his videos because I don't know. I didn't know what his YouTube channel was. So.
It's actually, I don't know, really know what. I think it's Vol for Life and a number. I don't know. I forgot what it was, but yeah, he's on Twitter at evil_zone, so you could ask him there.
Evil Zone. All right, cool. I will definitely do that, because the reason I haven't written the Madden article yet is because I don't think I'm done yet. Like, I don't feel like I have done enough. Even now, I've done a lot. I don't think I've done enough. I think I need to work out the whole franchise thing, for one thing.
Yeah, I mean, actually, when you do a Play Now Live game next, you can actually, you know, instead of like hitting down and hitting no to start a franchise, you can start a franchise there, but then
from that point, though, yeah.
Yeah, and from that point. Oh yeah, yeah. So you can't do that.
It's you're finishing out the rest of the season. It starts it from the point that you just finished that game. So it's like, want to know what happens next?
Yeah.
Let's play
yeah.
weeks 8 through 12, and that's all you get. You're done.
Oh man.
Oh yeah, that would kind of be weird. Yeah, I did a custom. Well, I didn't even do preseason, which I guess that was kind of a mistake, because with the without the patch, my first game was like, you know, just like complete shutout because of the patch.
It was a terrifying nightmare.
Yeah. Although, I think finally Yohandi's getting better with it. You know, he at least I don't think he was completely shut out last game he played, which is nice.
So, dude, I haven't lost a game yet.
You haven't lost a game yet. Oh,
I haven't lost a game yet.
That's probably because
I think I need a loss to like humble me or something, because I haven't lost yet.
I think you may. Well, that's where franchise will come in, because you know, the ratings for the beasts and the NFL. I mean, they're just good because they had all that training. But when you do franchise, the receiver, you're gonna fumble a lot. You're gonna. You know, your players in franchise got to get better because they start at the bottom.
Yeah, who could forget that first game when right out of the gate you fumbled a freaking ball?
Yeah, yeah. That was awesome without the patch, though.
You know, I actually tried to adjust a couple things. Like, I tried to set the playstyle simulation.
Yeah.
Rather than arcade, because I think I'm at least ready for that. But I might be ready to turn up the difficulty now, too. And it's weird, though. I actually also tried to adjust the quarter length to a full 15 minutes, because I want to play, you know, games the way they're actually, you know,
played. Yeah.
Right. That unless that does not apply to Play Now Live games or whatever they're called, unless that doesn't apply to them, I don't know what I did wrong. Because again, It's definitely not 15 minutes.
I wonder what... No, I think that does take... I think that is... I think I actually set mine to 10 minutes. I need to verify that with OCR.
That's what I'll probably do. I'll probably go in with OCR and verify that.
Because, well, another thing that Karen recommended you turn on, and I think I did this, and it's turning out bad, is coach mode, where it'll auto-snap the ball, but only in certain circumstances, like, you know, after the two-minute warning when it's rush time. Basically, every time that something like that has happened, I spike the ball literally every time. It's like, what in the world? You spike the ball.
Why did he do that?
Yeah.
I don't think I want to turn that on.
Yeah, I don't. Unless...
I'm feeling like that's a no.
Unless, I need to go and, I guess, verify with OCR to see, maybe I turn the wrong freaking option on. But she said,
you turn on the super secret auto spike option.
Yes. Well, I don't know if you saw the guide recently, Brandon, but she added the entire options menu.
Yeah, that's what I was using to try to adjust the quarter length. And apparently, I guess I did it wrong. I don't.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back through there.
And this maybe for playing out live. I guess it's just condensed for just, I don't know. I don't know why they would.
It just seems like my quarter length is still 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem to have changed at all, and I tried to set it to 15. So you'd think if I moved it at all, it would have gone up at least some.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe, I don't know, sometimes when we count sometimes, maybe like...
Yeah, maybe. But if I miscounted, it'd either be 14 minutes or one.
Oh, that'd be a weird, like a one-minute
quarters. Yeah.
The game's just begun, but it's almost over, folks.
And nothing's happened. Oh, man. Well, I think we pretty much exhausted the details on this whole thing. Brandon Cole, is there anything you want to say? Well, more that we haven't covered?
Honestly, I think the whole thing about... the fact that this is a big deal, and I hope that people do take this seriously. I think that really, really sums up my closing statement about the game. I think it is a big deal, regardless of whether you're a sports fan. It doesn't matter. I did not come into this as a sports guy. I'm an accessibility advocate. That is why I got Madden, because it is a big deal. So,
well, I wouldn't have gotten Madden this year if it wasn't, for the accessibility. I mean, I got it anticipating the accessibility, I was, I played like one or two games, without it, and it was just, oh man. And then with the accessibility,
it's night and day.
Yeah. I mean, like I like in franchise, I know in franchise, Brandon, you will experience a loss because
good. Maybe I think I need one. Bring on them losses, man.
Because, yeah. I do know that when you play the moment, using OCR, and I was used doing the play moments thing just because it sounded kind of cool. The computer will make you lose. Like it's interesting how the computer with like incomplete passes left and right, and like when I do a full game, I would complete more passes than the computer doing moments, which is pretty interesting. But it also accounts for just how bad your players actually are when you begin franchise. You have to actually train them and upgrade them, so you will experience loss until you get to
the stat time. I like I said, I need to be humbled, so maybe that's the next thing I do, is start a franchise.
Start a Cleveland franchise.
Yeah. Coming. Listen to my streams. Watch out for that. Franchise time is on its way. The humbling losses of Brandon Cole. Hashtag it's about time.
I hope it's not too much. I mean, like I said, I only had one loss and almost lost last game. I said I only won by 3 points. and the Eagles only got they only got points due to two field goals. They didn't even get a touchdown.
Wow. Yeah, I saw that. That was bad.
The announcers were fun. It's like, oh, normally people get touchdowns in the NFL to get points.
Yeah.
Normally that's what happens. Not this time.
Yeah. And, I mean, it was, oh, Brandon Armstrong, did you see that one point where it was like 7-6? Like, I was going to lead by one point.
Yeah, that was very close. It's like, oh my God, he's going to lose.
They got in the lead, and then I got a touchdown with an extra point. That's what they did in a few games. I'm like, oh, wow.
You know, and I think the funniest thing is whenever at some points they'll break the fourth wall and, like, say these.
I love that. I love that.
That is hilarious.
I know it's, like, it's kind of cheesy, but I love it. Like Larry Ridley will be talking about halftime results unless you skip him.
No, that was one about, you know, I think it was something about, like, something about, like, players having more stamina in a video game. Like, they wouldn't be able to run.
Oh, what, one fourth wall break that I liked was after a really cool play that I ran. I think it was a really long pass, and I actually caught, like, one of the few long passes that was actually caught by me.
Yeah.
During the replay, they were like, man, it was Charles that said, man, if we were playing Madden right now, that never would have worked. But you know what? This is reality. It worked.
He said something like, "This is a video game, and like some things work differently in video games."
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Well, yep. I mean, you'll never. I mean, I don't know if you've played Jim Kitchens NFL, but you'll never. Jim Kitchens NFL. Your players never get tired. They can
that thing is just crap. Honestly, it wasn't even a real football game.
You could run like 150-yard touchdowns.
Oh, all the time, every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was no opposition. I was like, this is not how this works, you know? And he got emailed about it quite frequently, actually.
Yeah, well.
I think that's mostly because, like, his NFL game, it wasn't intended to be, like, super complicated. Like, it's just kind of, you press a couple buttons and the game decides what happens for the entire play and just kind of narrates it.
Yeah. Well, and that's what happened.
It was really a management type thing. And, I just enjoy it, although, you know, I'm always working on the passing game, and the running game, I'm really good at passing game.
Yeah, me too. I'm still working. I've definitely gotten better at passing. I've gotten better at it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I found that happy medium for, like, kind of the average pass, but then long passes.
Well, yeah, and you don't know. Well, then, yeah, you don't know when you're making a long pass because.
Right, and that's the argument I have with that. That's where I think audio can come in, and be a real help with that.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I think we have reached the end of this Variety Perspective episode, and definitely hope you enjoyed it. I'm really enjoying this new Anchor feature where we can do group recording, and I'll definitely be doing more game stuff. In the future, you know.
Well, if you ever want me back, I mean, I'll be on every show. Like, video games, man.
Well, trap, dude. Next episode, we're thinking about doing a Stranger Things 2 talks. So if you
let's do it,
binge it.
Heck, yeah, let's do it. I'm not done yet, but I'm almost done. I'm like episode 9 right now. So.
Oh, okay. Oh, so
you're on the very last episode then. So yeah, after this, you are done.
Yeah, there you go. Boom, son.
Sweet. Yeah, we can do that then. And I guess a Netflix general talk, because I know you pretty much watch.
I watch like all the things. Okay, like not literally. There, I will say, and we'll talk about this, I guess, if we do a Netflix show. There are shows that I skipped, but I watch most of the things.
Yeah.
I think my next biggest one is, as we all are anxiously awaiting, is Marvel's The Punisher. So.
Yeah. Next month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't wait. Hopefully they won't edit it or anything. Like, I hope they don't edit 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah, I hope not either. If they do, at least I'm glad I caught it before they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's leave that for a Netflix show. Let's do that.
All right. So without further ado, this is the end of the Madden episode, and we will be back for a Netflix or some other show. Probably going to be a Netflix show. We just spent the past like minute or so talking about it, so it's probably going to
be full on Netflix awesomeness.
All right. So for me, your host Oinx, and Brandon Armstrong, your co-host, and our guest for this evening, Brandon Cole, we bid you all farewell, and we will see you next episode.
Peace, y'all.
Later.